Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 12. Hour 12. We started this morning at 7 a.m. Mountain Time with Carolina Helene in Finland, and we have been all around the world today. I mean, it's just, I almost want to cry. It's been such a fabulous, fantastic day. And we're ending this on the most powerful, awesome note ever. My name is Lisa Gunshore. I'm your host for the One Heart, One Earth Global Awakening event for November 2020. It's just a thrill to be a part of this. And I don't even know what I am. I'm honored, I'm humbled, I'm grateful to have Julie Hoyle and Misa Hopkins together here with me. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I feel the same. I feel really honored. It's a real privilege. Thank you.
It's awesome. Totally awesome to be here with you fabulous ladies. And I can't wait to see what this conversation opens up for us.
Oh my God, I can't even wait. And I'm going to start out by saying, you know, Julie, I've known for 15 plus years. She's been there through all of my trials and tribulations and everything. And Misa, I just connected with you and your energy a few years ago because of your healing journey and what I was going through with my nervous system. And the minute that I had you on the show, Misa, a month or so ago, I was like, it was like you and Julie share this energy. And so I asked Spirit today, I said, well, I want to read something. I want to share something that is Julie and Misa's energy together. And this appeared. Of course it did. So I want to read this. Oh, I might have to put my glasses on after 12 hours. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. She is blooming, fertilized by a rich inner world of self-discovery. She is inviting, inspired by the divine to be a beacon of light for herself and others. She is discerning, guided to hold boundaries with love and take space when needed. She is beautifying, attuned to the exquisite possibilities around her. She is serving, called by love to share her heart and soul gifts with others. She is holding, created from a container space inside to bake on what needs to be felt. She is expanding, integrated with her multidimensional cosmic self and starseed origins. She is arising, drawn to embody her authentic and vulnerable expression. She is being, energized beyond busy mind to experience life from stillness. She is the inner feminine for both women and men, feeling her with open heart, open mind, open soul, invites her forward to play, to dance, and to love more and more to become.
Oh my gosh, that is so beautiful.
Isn't it? And it just popped out. It's written by Jalel Awin, whoever you are out there. That is the most beautiful thing I've ever read.
Oh my gosh, how beautiful.
Gorgeous. Wow. Really very powerful.
So powerful. Oh my God. So here we are. Everyone knows who you ladies are, but I do think with all the new people in the community, it's worth sharing who you are today, because it changes everything.
Yes.
Whichever one he wants to share first.
Please, Julie, please.
Sure. So, you know, I struggle a little bit with titles because, of course, you know, we're all beyond titles, but we need them to function and express in the world. So in terms of titles, I'm a transformation coach, an author, an artist, and an educator. And I've been offering spiritual development and healing modalities via my website, juliehoyle.org, for the last 20 years or something around 20 years. Following a really radical and life-changing spiritual awakening that just took my life and just flipped it, you know. And then I was really directed to offer what I'm offering and have been, and just following the call of that, really, and standing behind that and owning that and taking delight in supporting others to awaken to the truth of who they are.
Beautiful. Well, it's a treat to get to hear that about you, Julie. And we've shared some similar elements in our journeys. Yes, titles are tricky. They don't really, after a while, they don't mean very much, but they do help people anchor into who we are. And I am very privileged. I'm the guardian of an ancient pathway in the sacred feminine. This pathway is somewhere between 1,000 to 2,000 years old. And so I'm its guardian. That means I get called Mother Misa, not only by my grandkids and my daughter, but also by some lovely women in the world that I adore. And that also came after a couple of profound awakenings, one of them being in the yin energy, in the body of yin energy. And gave me, entitled me to, I guess you could say, the privilege of serving thousands of women around the world and men, mostly women, in their journey of their own discovery of what divine feminine consciousness is for them and how they want to live that and be that in the world. And that's really the cornerstone of my work, my books, workshops, all of it. And what a delightful life to get to be living.
Yes, for sure.
Well, I'm really excited for you ladies to be here. And we're talking about the awakening power. I really want to just kind of step back, and I'm sure I'll jump in here, but and let you ladies just go for it. And we might have blown up the internet. Everybody's telling me that there's some things going on, and I think we just go with it and see what happens here.
So yeah, there's a little kind of static disturbance, I think.
Yeah, it's our energy. I'm certain. But, oh my gosh, we'll go anyways, and I'll let you know if we have to do anything.
Do we need to cool it a little bit here?
I think we do. It's kind of funny. I think we do. I'm wondering if. Let me see. I'm pulling up my YouTube because everybody's literally, they're saying it like shut down and blew up.
Wow.
Isn't that funny? It's the energy, I'm telling you. Here, let me do this. All right, everybody. Welcome in to The Awakening Power with Julie Hoyle and Misa Hopkins. And I'm Lisa Gunshore, your host. And we're going to go with this, whether the internet is working or not at this point. So let's dive in. What do we want to say about The Awakening Power? Because it is potent today and all day.
Well, you know, it's a life changer. That's all I can say. Speaking from my own direct experience, you know, and it's really not about, you know, living a bliss-filled life, initially, anyway. Although, you know, the temptation, I think that's a great temptation. The yogis call it the great temptation. And the sort of the compulsion to keep going after bliss. And these higher states and these wonderful experiences is really what keeps us going until we're ready to do the deep shadow work, which is challenging and gnarly and very uncomfortable. But you know, the fruit of that is really, really incredible. And I'm sure, Misa, you have your own stories to tell about engaging with shadow work, because I'm sure you've done it.
I think it comes with a territory.
It seriously does come with a territory. And, you know, I was reflecting before I came on that, you know, from what I've seen from my own experience, you know, and certainly with the work of the shamanic work, many, many people, especially if they're working in a healing capacity or an awakening capacity, really come to places in their life where they have to face death. And that certainly happened in my case, I think two or three, maybe four times. I kind of lost count. And I know that's true in your case, Lisa, and I'm sure it's true in your case, Misa, as well, that you face your own demise and you have to work through that, you know, in whatever way that shows up for you. And it seems to be part of the territory. If you read anything that, you know, of any well-known sort of shamans, yogi shamans or Tibetan shamans or Native American shamans, there's always a big sort of pivotal point that is about facing one's own mortality. So that kind of might be fun to explore at some point, but I'm just kind of throwing that out there because I would love to hear what Misa has to say about that from her own experience. And I can share some of mine as well.
I definitely love to hear more. And yes, I've had similar experiences in my journey as to what you're describing. And I think there is a myth. There's this myth that you have an experience of an awakening and your whole life changes, which is true, but not in the way we think, right? And I remember talking to my ancestors at one point after multiple experiences of awakening and saying, well, is there some point where just everything just is crystal clear and that's it? There's no more work to do. And they laughed and they laughed. They thought that was the funniest thing they'd ever heard. And they said, Misa, honey, it's limitless. Oh, oh yeah. Well, so you got a glimpse over here. What else is there yet to be experienced that has any interest to you? So that pulls on you. So yes, very, very much so that I think we think there's going to be this moment and life is going to be really good after that. You'll have perfect partnerships and you'll be totally an amazing teacher and you'll be da-da-da-da, all these things. And no, in my experience, it was the opposite. It's like I had this amazing experience and then you come back to reality and you're going, oh my gosh, this is hard. This is tricky stuff. And thank goodness it is, right? Because we come here for the rich experience of Earth with our senses vibrant and alive and experiencing creation, life experiencing itself. As yes. Gibran said so beautifully, life longing to experience itself. And so we're immersing into these experiences. And some of them are absolute ecstasy and some of them are really gnarly. Mm-hmm. And they all matter. Yeah, I think you picked the perfect word, Julie. Gnarly is it, isn't it, Lisa? Yeah. It just gets you in there. And I, in my journey, learned to develop a new relationship with what I would call the dark night of the soul, because I don't think there is one. I think we have multiple opportunities to go to the existential edge, that mm-hmm. edge of our death and life, and open to what our redefinition will be. And I think when we don't think of it as torture and don't think of it as loss, but think of it as our rebirthing, now we are accessing the yin energy that's holding us in our transformation. And we're allowing transformation to occur. And it's not so painful. Yes, moments, but it isn't these years of suffering and depression and suicidal thoughts and anger and sorrow. It just is transformation. Mm-hmm. You're present to what transformation is, and it gets gentler and it gets easier and it gets beautiful and it's powerful and it's gnarly, great word. It's all of it. It's all of it. And for me, the delight has been in reframing what we've done to this concept of when you dive into the deep waters of your emotions, it does not have to be a dark night of the soul, as in all the bad things about me are going to come up. It just doesn't have to be. It can be this most precious birthing experience. And as I transformed my thoughts around that, it just became this beautiful experience of power and a dance between the yin womb and the masculine expression in light and sound. And that has given me tremendous joy and peace, I guess would be the best words I can come up with, a sense of I am who I am in this world, and I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's beautiful. You know, the master yogis call that making the sun and the moon rise, you know, the masculine and the feminine, and bringing them together and realizing that you are that midpoint, that the meeting point between the two, and really welcoming the darkness as much as you welcome the light. Because I know, you know, initially there's a sort of propensity to just really go after all the sort of the light filled blissful experiences and want to pull away from the dark experiences or the things that we'd rather not see in ourselves. But you know, the minute we say yes to meeting and greeting the shadow and the darkness within our own being, it's really a game changer. And so, you know, from that point on, you know, and there is work to be done within that recognition and within that meeting. But, you know, essentially from, you know, what I found is that, you know, even if there are challenges, you know, coming at me, and some of them are really, really kind of heavy sometimes, what's prior to that never comes and goes. It never changes. It's the supreme self and being able to stay in the state the great master yogis call Turiya, that which is the fourth, which is prior to the movement, you know, and you know, the emotional kind of turmoil that can sort of spin us around. You know, and that has been the great gift of doing the shadow work, being able to access that place, essentially 24/7, that, you know, it doesn't change. It doesn't come and go. It's always stable. So there's this place that, you know, sees, and it's not about, and I don't want to say, it's not about sort of detaching or trying to pull back. It's our true home and our true nature actually is what it is. And, you know, kind of, I always think, I kind of ironically, we get to that understanding through digging deep and going into the darkness, into the numinous darkness. I forget who called it that, but some, you know, great poet called it the numinous darkness. And it's the truth. It's absolutely exquisite, you know, to realize that the darkness has just so much beauty and so much light inherent within it. So yes, a few times in my life I've died or thought I was going to die, and I remember a few times just kind of turning the light off in the bedroom, laying down and putting my hands across my chest like this and closing my eyes and saying my prayers and repeating my mantras. And then oftentimes waking up and being surprised I'm still there.
I remember clutching my, actually, I think I have her here. I have this Kuan Yin statue and she glows in the dark.
Oh, wow.
And I remember clutching her and being like, okay, if I wake up tomorrow, I'm supposed to live. I wrote a note today, and it will definitely be on a social media post near you soon, but I wrote a note because I'm sort of fired up about all the spiritual conversation about going higher and ascending. I'm kind of over it, actually. And I wrote a note today, go in not up.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so with you because I'm so overhearing all of that ascending and transcending and all of that stuff. Because again, it speaks to trying to deny one's humanity and get to some other place that's better than where we are now. Rather than being fully embodied in the now, in our bodies, in, you know, and facing and meeting whatever's coming up, you know, whether it's irritation, depression, despair, you know, unhappiness, disappointment, whatever it is, you know. But, you know, you really have got to say yes to being here right now, no matter what is showing up in your life. There's no kind of, there's no exit. There's no, there's no alternative.
There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. It's not about going anywhere.
I'm going live on Instagram. YouTube's blown up, apparently. I don't know what's going on, but it's all YouTube. So I'm going live here. Everybody's here with us having this talk. That's what's going to happen.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. I'm glad they're here. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'll let you know if they have questions.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
I'll figure it out. Okay. Yeah,
that's wonderful.
It is. Yeah,
so, Julie.
Sure, you're on the same page, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I let go of that language a while ago when I had the experiences both deeply in awakening in yin and deeply awakening in yang. And when I listen to the language and the words that we use, we are light centered, we are ascension centered. This is yang energy, which is beautiful. Yeah. And I love it, by the way. Yeah. But it's not the totality. And when I was taken into yin consciousness, I was in Egypt. I think you ladies will love this story. I was in Egypt, sort of wandering around and on this incredible cruise with 300 healers and psychics and people just in their journeys of awakening. I'm eating my hair here, excuse me. And for some reason, that'll be fun to pull apart later on. And all of a sudden, for reasons I didn't understand, I was yin consciousness and dark, cool, still, completely, just barely an ebb and flow, all possibilities, a very different kind of love than the ecstatic love that we get addicted to with yang energy. Mm-hmm. It's this deep, profound stillness that holds, like you would expect a mother, like a womb, all that is, mm-hmm. and all pervasive. And so I came out of that experience, and years later, I realized that I couldn't speak about the experience of awakening in the same way, because I'd experienced both yin awakening in both yin and yang reality. So I couldn't call it by the words that many use in their experiences of awakening in yang, right? In the light that is all, mm-hmm. which is fabulous. It wasn't the totality for me. It was, mm-hmm. oh, that's lovely. Yep, that's very cool. Yep, I love that energy too. Love that awakening. Love those moments of awakening. And then there is this. And what I love about what you're saying, Lisa, is when you focus on in, then you're being present here, not looking for awakening to be externalized somewhere. You're right here, right now. And that's where I don't even think of it as a moment of awakening. I think of moments of awakening. If there's a week that goes by that I haven't had some moment of, then I know I need to get busy, because it's limitless, right? As my ancestors taught me, it's limitless. And that allows for a different kind of journey than seeking some ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, because a lot of the language is future oriented. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, another timeline, you know, months from now or next week or whenever. And that isn't going to lead to anything, because you have to be here now. You have to stop looking outside yourself for something or someone who will, you know, transform your life or change things for you, or, you know, take you to a sort of nirvana. You have to be ready to just stop searching and looking outside yourself and go inside and be with whatever is showing up. And that is really the work more than anything.
Mm-hmm. It is the work. It is the work. And I love that you brought up the concept of the shadow side, because that was also a big transformational moment for me, was realizing that if I thought of the shadow as bad, then that's what I was going to experience, was everything that was bad. And Carl Jung gave us a completely different perspective. And he said, yes, that's where you see the hidden aspects of yourself. He didn't say good or bad, just the hidden aspects of yourself. And I find it's where my students find their spiritual gifts and where they're at peace with themselves and who they really are. Yes, you're going to meet your wounds. Of course you are, because underneath those wounds is the precious soul that was conceived in the mind of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Of course we're going to heal those wounds to be able to meet that essence. And what a beautiful gift to give yourself for your willingness to sit in loving presence to what those wounds are teaching you about your essential self. That's sweetness.
Yes. Yes. You know, and the thing that happens is with many of the people that I've worked with, when they start undertaking shadow work, they suddenly tap into these incredibly, you know, creative, expansive gifts that they hadn't realized they had, or they've kind of turned away from or sort of repressed for whatever reasons. And, you know, it can really kind of open up this huge outpouring and expression of, you know, gifts in writing or music or art or, you know, public speaking or whatever it is. And there's a new lease on life. And it's absolutely fascinating to witness and to be a part of that and to be able to sort of hold that for someone as they're working through the shadow, you know, elements. And it's just incredible. You know, and I'm sure it's true in your case, and it was true in my case as well. When I started sort of digging deep, you know, it was phenomenal. Suddenly all these words would come, you know, poetry would come. I'd start creating art, and, you know, these kind of cones would land, and it would just pour out of me. And I guess that's why I've got so many journals. I think I've got about 30 journals or something. So we're in good company, Lisa. I heard you speaking about that today, and I was just counting up. I mean, I've just got so many journals.
It's still here because I was talking about it earlier, but this is my box.
Yes.
Gosh. So yeah.
Yeah. So you do, you know, you unearth a really rich harvest, and you really do not know what you're going to sort of bring up when you start digging, but it's always phenomenal. You know, I don't know anyone that's done shadow work and hasn't yielded some incredible gift that they had never kind of, you know, even remotely had any idea was there.
Yes.
And it's just beautiful, you know, what starts to flow out of people. I mean, clients I've worked with over the last few years are writing books, or, you know, they're creating blogs, they're speaking out, they're, you know, they're learning new skills, they're doing all kinds of just incredible things
that life. Really,
you know, it's a result of doing the shadow work.
I'm so sorry. I interrupted you twice. I got so excited. Yes. Your life spring, mm-hmm. Your life force is springing forward, and it must express. It demands to express in the most beautiful way. I don't mean demand as in force. I mean, as in it simply must. And I've also found with my clients, in addition to that creativity, often they are experiencing levels of emotional fulfillment that they haven't experienced. I've had my students say, now I know what it feels like to feel wanted, mm-hmm. to feel truly desired.
Yes.
to have those deep core, they're yes, they're emotional, but they're beyond emotional. It's a profound sense of other meeting other in oneness. And when you have that experience and you haven't before, it opens you up to the true potential that is there to be explored and to be played within. So we do play more. We experience more. I think we take more risks because why not? Because I think you're less afraid of it.
Yes. So,
okay, let's go.
Yes. Yes. You know, again, I love what the master yogis say. They say when we're born into the world with this belief in separation. They call it the anavamala, this really ingrained belief in separation, feeling separate from God. And then we spend our whole lives trying to find someone or something that will help us heal that feeling of separation. And of course, that anavamala is destroyed. That feeling of separation is destroyed when you have a spiritual awakening, whether it's radical or subtle or, you know, however it sort of manifests. That core feeling of feeling separate from God is completely destroyed. And so what happens is when you really start digging deep and doing the shadow work and bring those parts back to yourself that you have disowned or separated away from or whatever, then there is this incredible feeling of union that takes place naturally and organically. And we not only feel it, there's an energy shift. It kind of lights up our entire field, which is why other people feel it, even though they don't necessarily know what's up or what's happened or something like that. I mean, I remember shortly after I'd had this radical spiritual awakening, I traveled back to the UK and my family would be looking at me and saying, you know, what happened to you? You know, did you have your hair cut or what? Did you have a facelift?
Yeah, and that is a great privilege, Julie. I think in the way that my ancestors taught me that we then get to, and we all do, by the way, with whatever experiences we're having, to whatever degree we are more conscious than we were the day before, we get to hold that for others. And I remember Satya Sai Baba, it was such a kick. And I said, please, would you hold this for me? I'm so close to grokking it, I guess you could say, for a word, you know, to being that. And I'm just not quite there. And he laughed and he said, oh, now you understand. That's how it works. That's what we do. We hold for each other, which was beautiful because that was holding is the essence of the practices that were given to me by my native ancestors, that we hold ourselves, we hold one another, so that our consciousness in this sleepy journey on this sleepy planet where we agree to forget that we are divine, that in that holding each other in the space that we are in any given moment, as purely as we are in that moment, that we create this field opening opportunity for another to more easily glide into that for themselves. And one of my great joys is working with groups of women and watching and experiencing with them as they feel this pulsing field of energy that they are generating. And as one of my dear friends and I discovered early on, and it's so much fun when you step into that field with others. I'm very clairaudient and she's very clairvoyant, and we would sit and meditate. My clairvoyance would open and her clairaudience would open until eventually they just switched completely when we're in that space together. I'll be fully clairvoyant and she'll be fully clairaudient. And so there's this delightful playground of experience that emerges in that willingness to hold one another. And as we're going through these crazy political times right now, right in the US, it's a little on fire around here. That's what I tune into, is what is it that needs to be held right now? Who am I willing to hold? Even the people I disagree with, am I willing to hold in love and listen in love and be present in love, so that that field of consciousness becomes the field of consciousness we truly came here to experience together, mm-hmm. and to be one of the players, one of the, I really do believe the chosen ones are the ones that raise their hands and say, I'm going, I'm willing. So all of us as chosen ones that chose ourselves can co-create the reality we really came here to eventually experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You guys are so beautiful. And you guys were holding me last night. I felt like I graduated this morning because I had some profound openings, but you were both in my lucid dreams last night. No surprise there. And the three of us were talking about where we were going to meet. We were trying to meet for coffee of all things. And we were like, where are we going to meet? And we were trying to decide if we were going to bring our husbands with us. So it was pretty funny in my dream. It was like, do we want to bring them? I don't know if we want them to come. Even though we love them. And that was in my dream state. And I woke up this morning pretty early because I have a new kitty and she wants to wake me up. So I've been slamming into my body from lucid dreams because of this kitty. But what came to me was, you know, what we're talking about here, which is, first off, this collective energy I've been channeling was like, we're not the collective anymore. Like, we're just higher wisdom. Like, stop using all this language. And then they were like, we're not timelines either. We're not going to use those languages anymore because it doesn't matter. And I saw this really beautiful vision in my morning meditation, which was this idea of this, you know, there's these different paths we can go on right now. And, you know, there's one path and another path. And the meditation I was doing was talking about how one path, you know, is a darker path or the lower path or whatever, and then there's the higher path. But what I saw was the two paths split, but then they came right back together. Mm-hmm. And the message that I heard was, it really doesn't matter what path we're on, because we're still all in this together. Mm-hmm. And it really just shifted something in me that clearly I'm still processing, but it shifted something in me. And I feel part of that is the three of us and our energy that was all merging in the sleepy hours. But this whole idea of holding each other and going inside of ourselves, that's just it. I mean, that's really just it. And I feel a responsibility with our community and our own, you know, friends and loves and all these things to begin to unify us and to ask for everyone, invite everyone to come together and to step away from the stories and the narratives and the divisive language and the everything that's happening, even within the spiritual community, because this isn't about getting on a spaceship and leaving the planet, even though maybe some of us want to. This is about us being in this body. And really, Mother Earth said to me this week, she said, we are the conduits. She needs us to mm-hmm. be the conduits of that God source to bring it into our fields as human beings and give it to her. And we can't do that if we're trying to float out into the ethers or fly up somewhere. That's not the point.
Yes. Or, you know, or keep telling ourselves there's something wrong with us and we have to keep fixing it and or trying to sort of elevate away from it or, you know, do yet another workshop or something, you know, to try and transmute it or, you know, whatever language we want to use. But it's a lot of it is about escapism and avoidance and not really wanting to look at what our emotional body and our physical body is trying to say to us, because, you know, the truth is that the physical body never lies. whenever there's any condition, it's telling us something. It's showing us something that, you know, wants to get our attention. So, you know, we really do have to be fully embodied. We have to be fully engaged with everything that's happening. And we really have to show up and, you know, be the embodiment of the light and the darkness and be okay and be joyful in that. And to, you know, reflect that back to, you know, whoever we're with, whether it's people who are on a spiritual path or not. You know, because the thing that I love to say, and it's the truth, is that your state does the work. So, you know, if you're really in your body, in, you know, and fully, you know, engaged, and, you know, and doing the work and really reflecting the light and reflecting the truth that the darkness is also an ally, and both, you know, the meeting place for both is really where it's at, then, you know, it gives people a lot of courage and a lot of hope, and we become touchstones for that too, you know. And we might be talking about the weather, or I don't know, in the Bahamas we talk about the cost of food all the time because it's so expensive. But, you know, you don't even have to be having spiritual conversations, because it's your entire being, it's your state that does the work. And that is the truth.
Beautifully said. And I can't thank you enough, Lisa, for really bringing that up, this connection with the earth. In our journeys to be more enlightened human beings, sometimes we forget that we are of the earth. Bone of her bones and flesh of her flesh and water of her water. We're made of the same mineral content percentage. We're made from the same percentage of water as Mother Earth is. Our bodies have that same percentage of water. We are of her. We didn't come here to transcend her. Mm-hmm. We came here to be with her and of her and awaken in a journey with her. With the animals, with the trees, with earth, water, wind, and fire, and metal. We came here to immerse. That's what we chose. And the great journey is keeping our feet on the ground sometimes, right? And saying, I'm okay being here on this earth. There are gifts I have not yet experienced. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to be present enough until I experience her mystery. Mm-hmm. Which is part of the great mystery. That she too is my teacher. That Mother Earth, emphasis on mother, is one of my teachers. And for me, part of being able to feel more comfortable with the earth herself, of course, the native ceremonies I've been privileged to be in really, really helped with that because they were so rooted in Gaia. But also when I shed the concept that darkness meant evil, there was a huge moment for me, and it still is. It plays fully inside of me because that's human made, by the way. We created that concept that light is good and darkness is evil. That is not what it is in the formation of creation. That's human addition. And so when people say to me, well, Misa, then what is evil? What do you think about evil? Woundedness, the things we've done to each other that have created harm, that hurt. And underneath that wounded expression is a precious soul. Mm-hmm. And if I'm willing to be present to the precious soul, then there is no good, bad, evil, heavenly. There is none of that. There is only our suchness connecting with each other. And that's challenging sometimes when you see very hurtful behavior coming from someone else, or you yourself are behaving in a hurtful way. To be able to find that place of presence and holding and love that can allow us to be the expressions that we are in this moment and find a love that takes us back into our awareness of that precious self and engage from that precious self once again. And we'll do it many times throughout our lifetime, as my husband will tell you. If I'm going to play it out with anybody, I play it out with my Jeffrey. He'll say, "Where is that spiritual woman I married? Like, she's just working through some stuff right now."
Oh my God. Scott just said that to me last night. I was on here for 12 hours and it was awesome and it was beautiful. And then after that, I was so hungry and I was so like, "Oh my God." And he's like, "Didn't you just like go through 12 hours of like spiritual work?" He's like, "What is going on with you?" And by the way, we have contact, so we are live.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I don't know when that happened, but thank you guys for being patient. And let's see, Jerry says, "I am ready," all caps. And Rachel says, "This work requires discipline and it's hard to do it alone." She said, "I would love to have you in person coaching me through it, Julie. Your book is amazing, but I'm skipping school." So if you guys have questions, it looks like we're live. So there's lots of you guys on too. So if you have questions, you can all moderate those on my phone since we're in a different format because YouTube went crazy, I guess.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah, questions would be great, or shares or whatever, but you know, I guess it'll take a few minutes or something to come in. But yeah, this is a great conversation. It's so rich. And it's so timely because, you know, a lot of people believe that, you know, I know Lisa and I have talked about this, but they believe when they have a spiritual awakening, then everything, you know, should be effortless. let's say with respect to, you know, writing a book or creating a blog or doing something, you know, where there's a call to action. And there's this false belief that, oh, you know, there shouldn't be problems. And everything should go well. And, you know, it's very easy to kind of respond to a call to action and then drop everything because it's not, you know, it's not going smoothly. And really, it takes commitment, and it really takes a lot of energy and a lot of focus to really get behind what you're being called to when there's a call for action, especially in an area that you're not maybe, you know, so familiar with, or you don't have, you know, skills in, like, let's say technical skills, for example.
I was going to say, like, being a YouTuber. That's what I was going to do.
Yeah, because, you know, I've received emails where clients especially have said, "Oh, you know, I never thought you had any problems with any of this. You make it look so easy." It's like, you know, and it's just not true. You're as challenged, if not more, actually. I think, you know, especially when you really call to step into something that can be a little bit uncomfortable initially, something you haven't done before, let's say, it can be very difficult. And you really have to draw on all your courage and strength and commitment to, you know, sort of try and get projects off the ground. And, you know, and I think that's really worth speaking to, because that has come up quite a few times, certainly with people that I've worked with.
It's true, that sense of commitment, persistence that one of the viewers is talking about, and discipline, dedication, that it is all part of it. And I'm sure, Lisa and Julie, you've had your experiences with that even early on in the process of awakening. I remember, and I talk about it in my first book, that I read about meditation, had this sense of meditation for years, hadn't studied with anyone. I said, "I can meditate for 20 minutes, sat down on the floor and nearly went crazy. It was like for 2 minutes or one. My
yes.
thoughts, oh my gosh. And yes. It took day after day. I will sit here for 3 minutes. All right, 3 minutes, you're not moving. You're not allowing yourself to act on those distractive thoughts. Just sit. And then 5 minutes and on until finally there was this huge opening into consciousness. But the persistence was key.
And I see that with my clients as well and my students in the classes. And frequently we'll talk about that as we're working through a process together. There's a moment for each woman. And it might be at the beginning and it might be at the end of the class. It will be there. And that's your moment when you get that great insight, that great awareness, that true moment of awakening where the veil is gone. And you suddenly in that moment realize why your persistence was so very, very important. And it doesn't go away when we're doing it the other way around, right? When you have some degree, some measure of, some experience of awakening, and now you are working in physical reality, you're creating in bringing it into the physical. It requires, as you're talking about, Julie, that same persistence, right? You've got to stay with it, as Lisa did tonight, getting us on Zoom, getting us on YouTube. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stay with it until it opens. And that is one of the gifts we give ourselves, is that persistence. Mm-hmm. And it's so worth it.
It is. You know, I mean, I was laughing when you were talking about meditation, because actually it was prior to, I had a radical spiritual awakening through a lucid dream. But just prior to that, I'd always had a sense that I wanted to meditate, and following a really lengthy period where I had back problems, I decided, okay, I'm going to go and learn to meditate. And I found this meditation group nearby, and I think I went three times. That was it. I went three times. The meditation was only 20 minutes long, and I could not. I mean, I just couldn't. After like a minute, I'd open my eyes and just look around the room and just like stare at people and think, you know, how is it they look so calm and still? You know, what's he doing? What's she doing? I just couldn't. I just could not meditate. And I remember driving home after the third night thinking, well, that's it. You know, I tried meditation. It didn't work for me. And then that was that night I had this, you know, lucid dream where I left my body and had this massive, you know, awakening experience. So, you know, and I do say, you know, after that, it was like it was night and day. I could actually then sit, and I was in this place of watching the movement of the mind. And so it completely transformed everything. So I really do, you know, I really honor people that really stay with meditation, even if it's for 5 minutes, because, you know, it is really challenging in the beginning. So, you know, it is really hard. And especially if you go to a meditation center and the instructor or whoever's teaching is insisting on sitting in, you know, some sort of lotus position, cross-legged on the floor, which I was never able to do, you know, and there are sort of techniques where you can raise your hips and so on and so forth to make it easier. But, you know, if you don't have somebody that can give you those tips and pointers, you can be sitting there in absolute agony trying to meditate, and all you're thinking is, my butt is killing me, or my hips are killing me, or my knees are killing me. And it just doesn't work. You know, and again, that's really about being embodied, being fully in the body, and being comfortable enough to be able to sort of, you know, dive in and find that place of silence. But you really do have to have somebody that can support physical comfort so that then you can meditate in an easeful way.
It's yes. Funny, Julie, when you talk about that, because it reminds me of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and there would be really long days where he would be teaching and on, and we'd all be sitting there, and he would always joke about how uncomfortable he was. It was like a constant thing, and every teaching I went to over those 7 years that I went to those to see him and went to those teachings, he would get up in the middle and he'd move around and he'd laugh his laugh about how uncomfortable he was.
Oh, really?
Get him cushions. Oh yeah. He thought it was, cause he's like, would say he's old, or he would, you know, joke about, you know, his leg is asleep or something, but he really did make a point to let everyone know that it didn't really matter that he'd been training his whole life. Like, it sucks to sit and meditate for a long time or to sit and teach, like, because, you know, he did have, you know, he's a Dalai Lama, he'd have to sit a certain way. And, but man, he'd be moving those robes and he'd get hats if the lights were too bright. He'd be like, I can't even talk to anybody. I need my hat. Like, so it's just, you make me laugh. Cause I remember, like, that was something that makes him so human, you know, is that he would, you know, cause we'd all be sitting there uncomfortable and you're trying to like be good. Yeah. During the presence of Dalai Lama and all these people are watching, but he was always like laughing about that. And it really put everybody to ease because it's like, oh, it doesn't have to be perfect and I don't have to do this perfectly and it's okay. And we have some great comments and questions, but I do just want to share something when you talk about, oh, that's weird. I just got an email from the office of the Dalai Lama, like right now. This day is awesome. But I do want to say about the call to action, you know, just like the persistence piece, I think that there's an energy of being persistent when you get something that's tough, you know, that it's time to leave the partnership, or it's time to change residence, or it's time to do something. I have one of my favorite students and colleagues and clients, and she's just awesome. You know, she got hard information when she finally made that connection, you know, had that awakening moment and was like, oh man, like I have to, this is not aligned. And she did leave the relationship that was toxic, and she did pursue what she wanted to do as a healer. And she has learned hard things like marketing and making a website and all these things. And she's just done it so beautifully. And I have so much respect and honor for her because she's a prime example, a shining example of the persistence of staying true to the messages that you receive and really listening to those and not being afraid, even if it's scary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the hard part is, you know, whether it's pushing through, you know, a YouTube or it's making a really tough decision. I mean, it's both. And oh gosh, okay, we have Sherry says, I have the courage, strength, and commitment, but my energy roller coasters a lot and it can be exhausting and I feel tired. And Sophia says, my awakening is fairly new. It's been about 10 months, plus my kids. We are all doing it at the same time. She said, any advice? Because I've become a sponge. And let's see, we got so many questions here. Okay, those are the ones I'm going to read.
Well, I would love to respond to the lady who said that, you know, she's got kids. Did she say three kids?
She just said kids.
Oh, kids. Because, you know, I always remember the most beautiful response that was a similar question, you know, was asked one of the yogis I work with who, I won't name, but this woman said, you know, it's okay for you. Here you are living in an ashram in India and you've got, you know, you don't have a wife and kids and you're not working. You know, you've got none of those responsibilities. You can just meditate all day. And he just laughed. He thought it was hilarious. Because, you know, he was running the ashram and taking care of people's dramas all day long, every day, you know, and doing all this subtle work as well. But, you know, he said, and she was saying she was almost in tears because she said she was too tired to get up and meditate and chant and do all this kind of work, you know. So he said, forget all that. Don't even worry about it. He said, do you cook? She said, yes. He said, do you clean your house? She said, yes, of course. Do you take care of the kids? Yes. Well, while you're cooking and cleaning the house and taking care of the children, pray and repeat the mantra. And he gave her the mantra, Om Namah Shivaya. You know, Om is the primordial sound, Namah is I bow to, and Shiva, supreme consciousness. He said, that's all you have to do. And so she was just so happy, because she could, you know, use the mantra while doing her daily activities and taking care of her home and everything. And so, you know, she took that sort of pressure off herself, of believing that she won't attain anything because she didn't have time to do these practices. And of course, that's not true. You know, we can utilize practices in a way that fit our schedule and our time that we have available to us. And, you know, and that there was so much love in the way he gave her that sort of message. And she was happy as a clam, and she said, okay, that's it, I'm going to just repeat the mantra. And that's what she did. So, you know, I would say just find a mantra or find a prayer or find an affirmation that feels right for you and utilize it. And to the lady who was saying that she has, you know, projects or ideas to sort of to work with, but she's has problems with exhaustion, I think she said, was how she put it.
Yeah.
Now, I would, you know, sometimes it does require having to push through exhaustion. I mean, I do remember one of the masters I worked with said to a group of us, you know, you complain about fatigue, you complain about being tired. If you have any idea, she said, some days I can hardly put one foot in front of the other. Mm. And, you know, and that really, again, made me recognize her humanness, you know, and just how much she gives. And, you know, and I know that's true for each of us as well. We've had our moments where we are completely exhausted, but, you know, there's work to be done. There's, a book to be finished or, a blog to do or whatever it is you're doing, you know what I mean? And somehow, you know, what happens is I offer it up to the great beings who direct my path and my work. And I just pray and I ask for their grace. I ask for their blessing. I ask for their energy to support whatever needs to be done. And it really shifts everything. And I find I can just keep going and keep going and keep going. And then all of a sudden I'm not tired anymore, you know, and it really works.
Great advice, Julie, really great insights. I'd like to respond too, if that's good. Lisa, does that work?
Yeah.
Excellent. Something that I was taught years ago from Reinhard Platteschler, who is a master drummer. And when it came to sustaining energy, and he had us working with rhythms all day long, and he looks at us and he says, have you ever wondered how a drummer is able to sustain a rhythm for hours? Actually, I had never wondered about that. It was a great question nonetheless. And I've known a couple of master drummers. Both of them said the same thing. They said, drummers focus on the space between the beats. It's the space or the yin that gives you your energy to sustain. So even when I was doing, say, ceremony for a week long, 24 hours a day, there is no time off, not in the dream time, not in the meditation space, not when it comes to the meals getting to people, nothing. When you're facilitating ceremony, there's no time off. And what sustained me was exactly what I learned from Toby Christensen and Reinhard Platteschler, was focus on the space between the beats. And I did that when I healed MS. And I've done that since, when I start feeling overwhelmed by everything going on and feel my body start to respond to that sense of overwhelm. It's a breath. It's an awareness of that space and giving myself permission to slow down and be the space. And from that space, clarity emerges, your right action emerges, and it becomes fluid. Mm-hmm. It becomes a flow rather than an effort, and that gives you even more energy than you thought you had to begin with. So it's a beautiful way to sustain. And I know when I've been overwhelmed by all of the tasks that need to be done, right? And I'm saying, I don't know if I'm going to get all my usual meditation time in today, the things I do to sustain myself. One of the things that I love, that I learned early on, was letting my motion be a prayer. To remember that all things in creation are seeking love. All things. That beautiful sense of either you're aware that you are love or you're seeking love, right? That includes my dishes. That includes the clothes that I'm washing. That includes the toilet when I'm scrubbing it out. And Judith Dirk talked about that so beautifully in her circles, that use your tasks to be present with where you are. And what I found with that is the more I was willing to be present with the tasks themselves, my tasks were the meditation, and the love that I was feeling was emanating into everything I touched, and as it does, coming back to me. So there are so many ways that meditation and being present and living consciously and awakening can take place, right? Everything from in the middle of a meditation to have that experience of awakening, or in a lucid dream, or in a near-death experience, or in the day-to-day, that moment when time and space stops. You're in the middle of an activity, and everything that you thought it was is shifting before you. You're having a different experience of physical reality. It happens in all of these different ways. And so if we surrender to what is right here for us in the moment, it will be perfect. It will be the perfect doorway that we need right now.
Yes.
Reminds me of my favorite Buddhist teaching, which is if you don't know what to do, sweep the floor.
Yes.
And yes. It is so the truth. And my husband's a drummer, Misa, so he'll appreciate your comments greatly, because that is his focus. I mean, he now has a recording studio in the house, and he went through this whole process of complaining about how drummers record their drums and how he doesn't think it's very good. And he's really realized that part of that is because of what he's hearing, just like you're saying, that space in between. Like, he hears things in a different way than maybe others do. And so he's finding his way with that now, but he'll appreciate your comments for sure. Anything about drumming, he'll appreciate.
Oh, so glad. That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. And Sophia says, yes, she does have three kids, Julie. So there was your clairvoyance flying out there. and then Rachel also says, Rachel's in the Bahamas too. She says, I am a drummer, and you are so right. It is about the space between the beats. And, she said drumming is a form of meditation, and it so is. It just so is. And
indeed.
Yeah. I mean, whenever my husband drums at the house, the two little girls will often fall asleep. It's like an amazing thing. Even though he's drumming on his regular rock and roll drums, they'll fall asleep. And it's like this.
On a kit?
On his drums, but they'll be upstairs and they'll hear him drumming, and they'll just poof, out they go. They just fall asleep. It's amazing. Oh yeah, it's so amazing.
That is amazing,
isn't it?
Yeah. Any more questions, Lisa, or is
I'm looking at, not yet. I know we're on a delay, but let's see, there's a lot of just comments of people liking and loving and those kinds of things, so, but not a lot of questions. But I just love you ladies both so much. This has been so powerful that, you know, YouTube blew up and whatever else.
And this is the last session for this evening. Good. You'll be able to get some rest.
Yes, yes. But, you know, part of what you were talking about just now, for me, it's really been about being present today and yesterday. You know, time has just gone because I'm really focused on what's happening and listening and that holding, you know, holding space for everybody who's watching and everything that's happening. And so I honestly cannot believe, because this is the fourth event I've done this year. It's been kind of crazy this year. And this has just been incredible, really. I mean, it's been incredible. It's just flown by, and the meditations have been unbelievable today. The ones that we've had today have just been insane. So it's been a really good day, but it's amazing when you're present, how there really is no time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you're doing it beautifully, Lisa. Your energy is just glowing. Oh. And to think that you've spent that many hours holding space for so many of us, I just want to thank you for being who you are and creating such a beautiful sanctuary for all of us. Very inspiring, my dear.
Oh, thank
yes.
you. Well, you ladies just mean so much to me. I mean, really, I was so excited to get the two of you together. I hope we do this again. I think it would be really nice to do this again, the three of us, because it's just a nice, I think it's not hard, but it is hard to find spiritual teachers who are all on the same page with where you're at in your journey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not so easy. I think, especially nowadays, I mean, there's a lot of teachers online, you know, and there's a lot to sort of sort through, but it isn't necessarily that they're coming from a place that really heralds the embodiment. You know what I mean? Rather than looking for some, as I said before, some sort of nirvana or escape mechanism or something, or some ritual that sort of takes people outside of where they are. So I've really enjoyed this discussion because of that, because it's important. I think it's really important to say and to really state, you know, you are perfect as you are in your body, you know, amidst the craziness or whatever's happening in your life, you're still divine. There isn't anything that you have to try and sort of dismiss or push away. Just welcome it all in, you know, and that really is the key. So I just love having these conversations because I think they're really important.
I agree. So beautiful. That's exactly it. To welcome it all in, to greet it with love, and allow it to show you whatever it is, mm-hmm. what is awakening in this moment.
Yes.
And be that awakening itself. I thoroughly enjoyed our discussion, and so lovely to meet you, Julie. Finally, what a treat.
What a gift. Thank you. What a gift. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa.
I couldn't wait. And I do want to give you ladies some space here at the end to share what's accessible to everyone and how they can find you. Everybody knows oneheartoneearth.net. I've said it a lot today. Both Julie and Misa's information and offerings and video, everything's up for you guys to find, but it's worth saying for the audio later and for everybody who's here listening that may not go to the website. So if you ladies want to share, you know, what's going on and what do you want to share and what can folks access and how?
Misa, do you want to go first this time?
Sure. Thanks. I would be delighted if you'd go meet me over at sacredfeminineawakening.com. There is a beautiful holding meditation that came from my ancestors. It takes you into that beautiful womb space, that yin energy, and gives you an opportunity to dive in, to hold and be present to all of your beautiful emotions and allow them to be your doorways into awakening. And that's our gift. Over at my nonprofit organization. You can also go visit me at misahopkins.com and find out what else I'm doing over there. So it'll be fun to meet new friends and sisters and brothers.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Misa. I'll check you out for sure. So you can find everything out about me on my website, juliehoyle.org. I have links to all the courses and all the offerings that I have. I also have a YouTube, very small following on YouTube. I have my own YouTube channel, which is fun. And I'm on Instagram at Julie Hoyle Official. And I've written 3 books now. I'm just about to finish my 4th book, which will go live very soon, hopefully in the next 7 days or so. Which I'm really excited about. You know, and all of that information is on juliehoyle.org. So I would love to connect and to, you know, to really help also grow this community. I'm a big advocate for growing the Buddhist Biohacker platform because it is amazing. What can I say?
It really is. Thank you for that. And I have testimonials for both of you ladies because, you know, Julie, obviously I've worked with you for a long time. And so I love you. Oh, here comes Cauldron. The kitty's coming. But your most recent new book, Meeting the Shadow, Finding Yourself, it is really amazing. And I'm doing the activities. I'm only in like the third chapter of activities, but they're really, really beautiful. And I'm getting so much out of it. It's like, no matter how much shadow work you do, to do that inquiry, like to give yourself the space for that. So if you've not gotten that book yet, it's incredible. And Misa, your holding meditation, it just is so beautiful. And it really did change the way I was managing my health. I mean, that was what it was. I was always fighting, and Julie knows this. I was always fighting. And my poor little nervous system did not like that. And this last sort of bout in 2016, I found you, Misa, I found your holding meditation, and I just held my nervous system. And it was like, oh my God, the tears that fell. And I was like, wow, that's really what it needed. It did not need all this other pushing and fighting just to be held. And I've had a healing session with you where you just hold space. And that is really, you know, it's up to us to heal ourselves. And so I loved that you created that space. So those are my testimonials because both of you ladies are so incredible. And I'm so happy you're part of this event. And the community just loves you. They're all writing so many stuff. They said, yes, today was amazing. They said it was a binge day. It totally was. And they said, thank you for holding space for us. Just really so many great like hearts and all sorts of smiley faces and things. So I'm glad we finally got live. I will do some little movie production tonight, and I'll get the full video up for everybody from start to finish. So I will do that before I go to bed tonight. But any last words, ladies, about awakening?
Wow. You know, I would just say, just stay with it, deepen into yourself. And really, it's really, if nothing else, right, welcome it all somewhere. Welcome it all. And if you can do that, you'll be good to go.
Oh my gosh, that was so perfectly said, Julie. So perfectly said. What I would add to Julie's wise words is this, that there is a moment where instead of shrinking away from who you are, any aspect of who you are or who someone else is, you open fully. Just like these flowers, you just open fully. And it is, as we've discussed tonight. And because of the technical stuff at the beginning, we started there with persist, persist, persist. Mm-hmm. Staying in that sacred energy of persistence really does allow us to open to everything and experience the love that is in all things.
Yes. Beautiful.
So beautiful. I'm so thrilled this all worked out, and I'm not sure what our technical world is, but it's all good. And everybody, we're back at 8 a.m. for the morning pulse check. We have eight hours tomorrow, eight guests tomorrow. And who they are, I don't even know because I don't want to figure it out on my phone right now, but it's all amazing people. I know that for sure. But we start at 8 a.m. with the morning pulse check tomorrow. And this morning was all about the number 13. We all, just so you two ladies know, four of us, three or four of us of the eight women separately before the show pulled cards that were the number 13 today.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really beautiful messages. And yeah, it was amazing. So we're not telling each other what we're doing every day to set the tone for the day. And so far, we've been right on the money with each other. So it's been awesome. So we'll be back at 8 a.m. for that. I'm going to turn this live off. But I love everybody. And we'll see you in the morning.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you.